Later, process in a crescent and glory. Take no empty pride. Through grace and grace, set not your heart upon it. God spoke once, and twice have I heard the same, that power belongs to God. Steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord, for you repay everyone according to their deeds. James has recorded our children's talk for this morning, so we're going to hear that now.
So I've come outside today to do our children's talk. It's a lovely, bright, sunny morning, but it's really, 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 really cold. It's probably one of the coldest mornings of the year so far, actually. And I've come outside to do it. But anyway, look, I've got my hat, my gloves, my scarf, big coat on. I'm all wrapped up. I'm well protected for the cold that's around me. Maybe you see behind me that there's a kiln. Wonder, can you work out where I am today, actually? That's a good question. If you do, comment, type it up in the comments and let me know if you can work out where I am. You never know. Might even be a wee prize thrown into it for you if you can work out where this location is today. But a kiln, they used to get the quarry, the lime out of the ground and then put it in the kiln. A kiln is a place that's exceptionally hot. It's like a big fiery furnace and it makes things stronger. A few moments, we're going to hear about the story of Daniel. Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, were in a fiery furnace. And whenever they were in a fiery furnace, because they wouldn't worship anybody other than God. They wouldn't worship a statue or Nebuchadnezzar. They wanted to worship only God. And so they were put in a fiery furnace as a punishment. But God met them in the fiery furnace. In fact, whenever the king looked in, there should have been three people. But there was actually four. One like the Son of Man. Scholars, teachers tell us that that's Jesus walking in the furnace with them. Even in our darkest, hottest, fieriest moment, in the biggest trial of our lives, God walks with us. Isn't that amazing? We can talk to him. We can ask him for help. In fact, I'm all wrapped up today. Hat, gloves, scarf, big coat. I'm well protected. God looks after you and protects you too. Stand firm, look up, and walk closely with him. Thank you.
Today's reading is taken from Daniel chapter 3, verses 10 to 23 and 26 to 29. Your Majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, cipher, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, Your Majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summons Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, cipher, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace. So these men, wearing of robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent that the furnace so hot that that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was the hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of the fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him, and he defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can see it in this way.
If you have your Bible with you this morning, please turn to Daniel chapter 3 as we look through this passage together. But before we begin, let us pray. Heavenly Father, wherever we sit now, we pray that by your Spirit, that we would feel an awakened sense of your presence with us. As we look to your word, help us to understand what this meant to the original readers, but help us to understand what it means for us living in your world today. So open our eyes to see you, open our ears to hear you. Amen. I wonder if you ever witnessed or seen a fire, a blazing fire. And if fear gets our attention, doesn't it? It's really something amazing when it really catches us. We want to tell you a story about a fire that you caused when I was a few years back. So I was working in a local church as a children's worker, and I was photocopying some seats for Sunday school. Next to my office was another office where the photocopier was. So I decided to leave the photocopying just running away and go back into my office. And so this is where I grabbed a few emails. It was 3 minutes later that I decided to go back in. And instead of all the dates being nicely laid out in the copier, instead there was black smoke coming out of it. Suddenly, the fire had started, the paper had been caught, and my boss, who was in the office next door, had smiled, but he just thought something was happening. But this really caught my attention, panic, and just stood still. I didn't know what to do. Only at that moment, a colleague came through the door and sorted it for me. But in this passage, we see these three friends, these three men, face a fire. And like most of the fires that we face, they had a choice whether or not they were going to face the fire. You see, fire is real, they can come our way out of nowhere. They made a decision to make these three. And they went through and do what everyone wanted, and bow down to these false gods, or they could burn in the fiery furnace. So they could choose to burn, or they could choose to do what everybody was expecting them to do. That was their choice. And fear is not something we normally choose, but as we see in the passage, they did. A trial like that is something we don't normally choose, but we still face trials within our lives day in, day out. But in fact, Scripture reminds us that we should not be surprised when trials come our way. Yet we are. We're surprised every single time. They always catch us off guard. You see, in our country and around the world, at the moment, we have been faced with a really fiery trial. because we have watched a virus spread across the world that has now taken more than 1 million lives worldwide. And so you and I have to decide what our response is going to be. The virus we have is known as COVID-19, a virus unlike anything that we have seen in our lifetime. For some, it has tested their faith, really wondering, where is God in the midst of this? Why is God allowing this to happen? Many have asked that question. And I find myself asking, what is God trying to say to his people through this? You see, Sadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were asking the same thing regarding the trial that they were facing. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar, in reading the passage, had made this image of gold, and it was about 90 feet tall and 20 feet wide. Imagine how big this was. It was so big that from any direction, whether you were looking from north, east, south, or west, within 15 miles, you could see this statue of pure gold. From this point, everyone was to fall down and worship this image. And in verse 4, we see that everyone must comply. No one is exempt. Man of every language, of every race, is to comply with this order. I don't know if you have ever seen the advertisement that the computer company Apple once had. It was between 1997 and 2002, and their tagline for it was "Think Different." Within the advert, you can view the advert online. Within the advert, they have the likes of Gandhi, they have the likes of Lenin, and even Kermit the Frog, who they say thought different, and how they encourage us to think different, to stand out in the world. You see, these three men, Sadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were very different. They stood out amongst the crowd. So as soon as the music started, as the instruments were played, right at the first note of the orchestra, everybody had to fall down and worship. So perhaps you can imagine this huge crowd of people falling down to worship this golden image. But yet there are three men still left standing. Three young Jews who shocked everyone and just remained standing. It's easy to go with the crowd, isn't it? But they remembered what the Old Testament had taught them, that you shall have no other gods apart from your heavenly Father. As you can imagine, at this point, the king gets very furious. And in verse 15, he says this: "Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, scyther, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you're willing to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Knowing what God will be able to rescue you from my hand." He gives these three men a second chance. He gives them an opportunity again to fall down and to worship the false gods. But again, they stand firm in their faith. And their response is quite bold as we read from verse 16. Sadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand." They didn't take time to think about it. They didn't go away and say, "If we do, I will have an answer for you." Immediately, they answered right away without consulting one another. They didn't hesitate. They stood firm in their faith. I wonder if when you were growing up, when you were a small boy or girl, were you ever taught that there is courage? consequences for your actions. That whatever you do, there will be consequences. And even your thinking, if you were doing something bad. But recently, as we got married at the start of December, you have come across the term happy wife, happy wife. I wonder if that term is resided within your house. Happy wife, happy life. You see, I take a stand in this passage regardless of consequences. I could have done what the king wanted just to make him happy, but they didn't. At this stage, the king had lost his cow. He had just completely had enough, and he had ordered for the forest to be set higher than it could ever go. Now, it's really at this point that Daniel makes a point in this chapter of knowing the clothing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had on. He goes into great detail in it. But why? Well, we're going to discover this. The fire was as hot as the king could make it. And you see, in it we read that not a single burn was left on their bodies. Their robes were not even scorched, and there was not even the smell of smoke on them. The only thing that was missing was the bones that had been placed on their hands and feet. How could this be? Well, if we turn back to the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, he says this: when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, I will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. What a promise. Verse 22 says this: the king's command was so urgent that the furnace was so hot that the flames of fire killed the soldiers. He took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the strongest men that Nebuchadnezzar had, were taken Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up to this fiery furnace. And they were consumed by it. But these three men that were in the furnace themselves were not. And neither was King Nebuchadnezzar as he approached the furnace. There is no way that these men would have survived without God intervening. This wasn't just luck of the draw. This was the Heavenly Father at work. We've all seen, we've all heard that term that seeing is believing. That once you see that something is true, once you witness it with your very eyes, that you will believe that it is true. And we see this in this chapter from verse 28. There is a major transformation that happens to King Nebuchadnezzar. Because of the faith that he has seen and the miracle that has just occurred right before his eyes, he now wants to worship the God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego worship. He realizes that the fourth man that he witnessed in the fire was a direct messenger from God himself. And then we see the transformation happen. The tables are turned. He instructs his kingdom, all the people that he has asked to bow down previously, you know, God, he instructs them now that no one is to say anything against the God of the Hebrews. He tells them that there is no other God that can save like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What a transformation. Stoned in a fiery pit. And they knew that they were about to be thrown in these three men. They knew that their lives were in danger. But they also knew a greater truth. No matter what God would choose to do, God is still God. And these three men believed that as they walked up to this fiery furnace, as their death was before their eyes. the three men say here that even if God did not choose to help them and they were to die in the furnace, they would still not go down to a false. It's still God. He always has been. Going apart around you. See, in life we will face fiery trials. We were never promised that it was going to be easy. And their faith in this passage gave them the strength and courage to stand tall. I wonder if our faith is strong enough to stand tall in the midst of a fiery furnace. There's a story about when the Japanese invaded China during World War III, and there was a missionary who was forced to leave the area. And at the time, she was working with orphans, and she just felt that she could not leave them behind, that she had to rescue them. It wasn't an option to leave them. She had to bring them with her. So in the end, she and over 100 children ran and making their way through the mountains of that area, and attempting to get to the area that was known as Free China, the area that was not affected by the war. It was a very difficult trip to navigate with such a large number of children. And as you can imagine, she was becoming really anxious about what was going to happen to them and whether they could make it to safety or not. But one little girl in the group, who was 13 years old, reminded the missionary of the story of Moses and how God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites to cross safely. And the missionary cried out in her desperation, "Am I not Moses?" To which the young girl replied, "Of course you aren't, but God is still God." Once they made it through safely, they were all reminded that no matter how inadequate they may feel, no matter how difficult the task is in front of us, that God is still God. You see, we might not understand what God is doing with certain situations in our lives and in the world that we live. But our job as Christians and as followers of Him is to stand tall in faith, to bear the fire, and to remember that God is with us. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So let's challenge ourselves this morning. If we were standing in front of that fiery furnace, would we stand firm in our faith as much as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did? Let us remember that as we go through our week, that whenever we may face, that God is still God, and we must stand firm in our faith. We are going to move into a time of prayer that James has for us.
So here we are this morning in front of the Lagan Valley Hospital, in the middle of our new restrictions coming in again for a further 6 weeks. I've been told by our chief medical officer that this indeed has been one of the worst weeks so far for our medical staff and professionals, and we're facing in to probably an even worse week in terms of intensive care units and so forth. So today, once we stand in front of our local hospital, we want to pray not only for our hospital staff, but for all those on our frontline medical staff, indeed for all key workers. Let's take a moment to pray. Father God, thank you that you are the God who knows us and the God who loves us. And in this moment, you're the God who comes before us. Lord, we pray for wisdom and discernment for all who make decisions around what restrictions look like. Lord, we pray especially today for our chief medical officer and our chief scientific officer. Lord, we pray for all those clinical technicians who are making decisions at the moment. For staff on wards. For staff in the community. Lord, give them peace and give them strength, we pray, and for ancillary staff and support staff throughout our health service. We pray for the pressures that's on them as well. We pray for those who are currently in hospital, who we know who have contracted COVID-19, or indeed in hospital for another reason. For those who are ill at home or in hospital, for whatever reason. Lord, thank you that you are with them. We pray for your healing hand and a touch upon their bodies in this moment. Lord, we want to pray for our community. For the community in which we live and work and walk our dog and buy our milk on. For those streets that we live in that have become a part of us over a period of time. Pray for our neighbours. For the person who lives on the left or on the right of us. Lord, continue to help us to see with your eyes and to hear with your ears. We may be your hands and your feet in our community. Lord, in this season of uncertainty, we pray for businesses, whether that's because of the lockdown and COVID-19 or because of Brexit. And we ask that your hand would be with those who are in charge and who need to make decisions for not only their livelihoods, but for the livelihoods and the employment of many others. Lord, come and pour your Spirit upon them, we pray. Give them wisdom and discernment. But Lord, in the midst of this, as a body of believers, as a community of faith, we pray that you would give us strength and courage to look up, to stand firm, and to walk closely with you, that we might see things happen in our day. In your name, amen. Amen.
This day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before we depart this morning to go make our second cup of coffee or to get your lovely warm bacon pudding, there are some announcements. DVK, our children's minister, is happening on Zoom again this coming Friday. There are craft packs available if you want to participate in that. You will need a craft pack. There will be a little email going out today to parents of details on how to get that craft pack. But the craft packs will be available outside the rectory from 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning. If you want to participate in DVK online, please don't hesitate to send us a little message and we'll send you the details. Our guest ministry, DV Way, is also back on Friday evening at 8 o'clock, Friday 29th, where we're going to be starting our new series. Again, if you'd like to be involved in that and don't yet have any details, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Continuing on from this morning's sermon, we are going to be looking at Daniel chapter 3 a little bit deeper on Wednesday night during our life groups online. If you would like to be a part of that and haven't yet been a part, please send us a message and we'll get you the link to join in. But we're going to be going a little bit deeper and having a bit of a Bible study and discussion on what we've heard this morning. And finally, if you have any magazine articles to go out to our next Bible magazine, please do send them to Rona by Sunday the 7th of February. As we close this morning, we hear the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.